Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. A brand new week of bringing clarity to the chaos is here, with Tyler Gilruth breaking the Liberty Code, the latest headlines from the end times with Josh Davis, and today we begin a brand new series exploring the dangers of replacement theology. Friends, Moses had Aaron. David had Jonathan. Jesus had Peter, James, and John. Paul had Timothy and Luke. We all need friends to sharpen us and support us in our mission, and in the same way, we need you. If you're already a supporter, would you please consider becoming a monthly partner, a faithful friend? Just as you budget your income each month to be able to pay your bills, Southwest Radio Ministries, to be good stewards of God's provision, needs to be able to do that as well. So will you stand with us? Every month, you can begin giving monthly by simply visiting our website, swrc.com, or by calling 1-800-652-1144. Please, begin your monthly giving today. 1-800-652-1144. Now, here's today's host, Josh Davis.
Has the church replaced Israel? And has God canceled his promises made to Israel, especially in the Old Testament? Why are so many Christians now seemingly embracing this concept known as replacement theology? And how does replacement theology morph our view of God? How does it change the character of God as revealed to us in Scripture? And why is all of this so important right here, right now, especially for us who are living in the United States of America, in Canada, in North America, and regions beyond? Why are these things so crucial for our understanding? These are the kinds of questions that I'm going to be unpacking over the course of today and tomorrow's program. So I encourage you to join us as we walk through this journey and explore this very demonic doctrine that the church has replaced Israel. Let's define our terms before we launch into why it's unbiblical and how it changes the character of God and all these kinds of things. Let's define our terms so that we understand what we're talking about when we're discussing replacement theology. Our very own Dr. Larry Spargimino gives a helpful definition of replacement theology. He says, replacement theology is the technical term for the belief that the church has replaced Israel and that all the promises in the Old Testament given to Israel are ultimately realized, or we could say fulfilled, in the church and have been transferred to the church. So in this view, the church, the body of Christ consisting of both Jew and Gentile, is now the new people of God, or as some have called it in historical circles, the new Israel. The church has replaced Israel in God's redemptive and prophetic plan. That's the essence of replacement theology. And that's the working definition that we are using. And so when you hear me referring to replacement theology in this program, in the next program, just know that that's what I'm talking about, that it's the belief that the church has replaced Israel in God's redemptive and prophetic plan. Why is this so important? Why do we need to understand these kinds of things? It's very timely because Israel is very much in the news, but it's not staying in the Middle East. It's not thousands of miles away. We see these things impacting the United States of America. It's all over social media. It's all over the internet. We see many Christians arguing, should we support Israel? Which side of this should we be on? And so it's a very much current issue that we need to understand and we need to really deal with appropriately and properly. Chris Katulka is the director of the North American Ministries for the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, and he writes something that's very revealing. And I wasn't aware that this had taken place and that these comments had come from the U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, when President Donald Trump, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and Mike Huckabee were all meeting in Washington, D.C. recently, And Mike Huckabee offered a lot of firsthand insights into the discussions about the future of Israel in a new Middle East with the expanding reach of these Abraham Accords. But it wasn't the closed-door diplomacy that surprised him the most. It was the streets of his own nation's capital. This is what Mike Huckabee had to say while walking through Washington, D.C. And as a matter of fact, when he was here during that particular visit that just recently took place, two times he was aggressively confronted by pro-Hamas protesters. He said, quote, "They recognized me, surrounded me, screamed at me. It made things so uncomfortable that about 15 D.C. police had to intervene. That happened not once, but twice." And that's in the streets of our nation's capital, dear friends. Mike Huckabee went on to say, quote, "I got to get out of this crazy town, Washington, and get back to Jerusalem where I'm safe." He said, people laughed. They thought that it was a joke. I said, no, I'm serious. I feel very comfortable and safe in Jerusalem. I do not feel that way in my own nation's capital. End quote. Now, friends, again, I ask you, think about that. Think about what the U.S. ambassador to Israel is saying. He feels more safe in Jerusalem than he does in our own nation's capital. And Mike Huckabee is a former governor, a presidential candidate. He's targeted, he's heckled in the heart of American democracy. He feels safer in Jerusalem than he does in Washington, D.C. So what does that reveal about the state of our national discourse? And more importantly, to ask, where does this point us to as people who are biblically minded? And that's what we want to explore on these two programs. What does God's Word have to say about it? Something that I'm going to hammer, something that I want to reiterate, is that our theology ought to inform our politics. Our political views aren't made in a vacuum, dear friends. They are informed by other parts of our life. Our theology, in other words, what we think about God, ought to inform how we live that faith out in the political arena, in the economic arena, how we handle our business personally, and perhaps even if we run a company or something like that. You see, the Christian faith works its way out, or at least it ought to work its way out in the believer's life in every single aspect of the way that we live our life. And that's why this is so crucial. You see, the role of Israel, the U.S., the church, all these kinds of things continue to be hotly discussed in North America. And any time that SWRC speaks on Israel, we know the comments are going to start flying. You know, we've been called every name under the sun. Anytime I write something about Israel and it's posted online, anytime that we have something along these lines, our radio program or other videos, different things that we do, and we're talking about Israel, we know, don't look at the comments, just ignore it, just keep going on, because we're going to be called everything under the sun for speaking out against replacement theology and for supporting Israel as we do. But what about the likes of Tucker Carlson, for instance? And we know that his recent discussion, and if you want to call it a discussion, that's fine. You can call it a discussion. It's a little bit more heated than just a nice fireside chat may be concerned. But Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, sat down and they discussed Israel, Iran, and the U.S., and it got millions upon millions upon millions of views, people tuning in, people giving their opinion. It was a very passionate discussion between those two. It was heated at times. It was controversial at times. But it was also sloppy. The conversation, especially when it centered around the scriptures, was extremely sloppy, especially when they discussed the church and Israel. Tucker Carlson makes no apologies for his opposition to the state of Israel and saying that why should Christians have to support this state? You're saved, you're born again, and now you've got to support Israel. It's sort of the logic that he uses. And there's a lot of misunderstandings in that particular logic, and I want to unpack some of that. But before we get there, we need to understand there is a new breed of Christian conservatives and people who call themselves Christians. I'm not saying they're not Christians. That's between them and God, but they call themselves Christians and they're conservatives and they oppose Israel. This is historically new in America in one sense, and the breadth of this is definitely historically new. Tragically, some of these people have crossed over into all-out hatred for Israel and the Jewish people, and they've become blatantly anti-Semitic. And for a Christian to be anti-Semitic is sinful. It's sinful, it's demonic. This anti-Semitism is rooted in the oldest hatred where Satan himself started this. It is a demonic hatred for the Jewish people. Now, I get it. There are other Christian conservatives who love America. They're patriotic citizens. They're fed up with the direction our nation has moved over the last few decades. They want to see things turned around, and they're not sure. Why are we standing with Israel? What's going on here? What should we do? Where should we turn? Why is this such a big deal? Why can't we just focus on America? Who cares what's going on over there in Israel? Let's just worry about our own selves. And you know, I get it. I love America. I'm blessed to live in the United States of America and grown up here my whole life. And this nation has changed so much in the last 25 years since the year 2000. America has really changed so much in the last 10 years. There's so much evidence of cultural erosion, moral erosion, spiritual erosion. We see it all over the news. It fills our news feeds every single day. American Christians hate to see how this nation is wandering further away from God. And we cry out to God, God, would you please move in a mighty way? We want to see a great move of the Holy Spirit across this land. I know I do. And what if God answered those prayers? What if America experienced a great awakening? You know, that would be amazing. That would be wonderful. I would praise the Lord. Yes, absolutely. However, I want to ask a serious question that you really need to consider, dear friend. And it's one that I've asked myself. It's convicted me of my wrong motivations and of my faulty theology. And so I just share this question with you today to cause you to stop and to think about what you truly desire the most. Now, here's the question. Let it sink in, please. Here's the question. Am I seeking God because I want to see His blessings? Or am I seeking God because I want to know Him? Why do you want to see God transform this country? Is it so that God would be glorified? Or is it so that you can live in greater freedom? So that you can live in greater peace? So that you can have greater peace of mind about the future of this nation? The blessings that come from God? Or are you seeking the face of God because you really want to know Him more? It's a convicting question, friends, is it not? And so let's apply this to this American situation that I've mentioned. Am I praying for God to move in America so that this country could be a better place to live, so that people will think more like I think? Or do I sincerely desire for God to be glorified? I think a quick game of would you rather might be helpful. So here's another question to consider. Would you rather draw closer to God or see America transformed? Think about that for just a second. Would you rather draw closer to God or see America transformed? And I know, I get it. It doesn't have to be an either or scenario. But I think asking this kind of question helps to reveal our motives behind why we pray for God to move in America and why we are concerned about where this nation is headed, or North America, or whatever country that you live in across the world as you're listening to me today. These things don't just apply to America. It applies across the board. And so I'm afraid that we often desire the blessings that come from God more than we desire the one who gives the blessings. We desire the answers to our prayer more than we desire the one that we're praying to. And friends, I told you, this is convicting. It hits me, and it really shakes me to my spiritual core to say, why am I praying for America? Why do I want to see this nation turned around? I know many American Christians love the USA, and I am one of those. I'm very patriotic, and our ministry here at SWRC is very patriotic. But I'm afraid that we often desire the blessings more than we desire the one who gives those blessings. And I want you just to think about your own self spiritually. Why are you seeking God for this country? We often get the cart before the horse, and that leads to so many theological pitfalls. So when we misunderstand what the Bible says about Israel, it messes up our theology. It messes up our politics in so many ways, and that's why the current discussion on how Christians should view Israel is a very crucial discussion in this cultural moment right here, right now. I said it before and I say it again. Our theology, what we think about God, informs how we operate in this world, including in the political arena. And sadly, several Christians believe that the church has replaced Israel in God's redemptive and prophetic plan. And again, this belief is what we often refer to as replacement theology. And I want to show you why this theological position is unbiblical, and I want to spell out a little bit more as to why these kinds of things are happening. Now, if you're just tuning in, I'm Josh Davis, staff evangelist with Southwest Radio Ministries. You can connect with our ministry at swrc.com. We got a host of resources on this kind of topic. And dear friends, did you know that you can listen to this program again? If you have our SWRC mobile app, that's a great way you can replay it or listen anytime you want to. Go to your app store, type in the four letters SWRC, and you can receive our mobile app. It's free of charge. Our Prophecy in the News weekly television show episodes, you can watch them directly in the mobile app. You can listen to this program, and you can share it with other people directly from that. We also have CDs available of all of our audio broadcasts. You say, I don't have a smartphone, I'm not interested in those kinds of things. Would you like a CD of this program? We can make that and send that to you at a low cost. You can contact our ministry for that information. Give us a call if you'd like to order a CD, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. We've got lots of books as well available at swrc.com, including Pastor Larry Spargimino's The Abraham Proclamation, specifically dealing with the Abrahamic Covenant and these kinds of issues. And so let's dive into a little bit more understanding of replacement theology and why it is so biblically bad. One thing that Pastor Larry Spargimino points out that I think is so very insightful is that replacement theologians are generally covenant theologians and are traditionally known in the Presbyterian and Reformed tradition of the Christian faith. Basically, covenant theology seeks to stress the holiness and the majesty of God. And that's one of the reasons why it's growing in popularity among Christians who are, quite correctly, sadly disappointed with the shallow evangelicalism of much of the modern church and some of the antics that churches have gotten into. People are tired of pizza parties and they're tired of just weakened, watered-down Christianity. They want solid biblical content. They want straight preaching from God's Word. They want to go into the depths of theology, and it seems like the only place where you can explore deep theological truths and hear very erudite presentations is from those who believe in covenant theology. And there's this mindset, especially among young men, that I see emerging in our culture today, that they're tired of the fog machines and the lights and the emotionalism, and they're tired of some of these kinds of things that have crept into our modern churches, and they want rich, deep teaching from God's Word, and they want to challenge themselves mentally and to dive deep into God's Word. And so they begin listening to some of the Reformed tradition folks and some of those who have bought into replacement theology and are proclaiming that kind of thing. And that's leading a generation of young people away from the truth of God's Word. And again, I want to get into the biblical arguments, but I thought that was such helpful insight from Pastor Larry Spargimino about why the church has replaced Israel and why it is gaining in popularity. Now, some of the claims that they make are things like, well, in the New Testament, Israel means the church, the new people of God, and that the word Israel no longer means what it did in the Old Testament. It's been given an entirely new meaning by the inspired writers of the New Testament. And going back hundreds of years, even thousands of years in church history, you can see some people like Origen, who wrote these kinds of things that led over into some other theologians down through the years, including the likes of John Calvin, who would write that perhaps some of these things where it says Israel doesn't really refer to national Israel. But what does the scripture say? Does it make sense to treat it that way? Consider some very helpful arguments. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures, and I want you to think. It's from the New Testament. It says Israel. Can we substitute church into these verses of scripture? Consider Matthew 19, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in this instance, does it say judging the 12 tribes of the church? Is that what it's talking about? You're going to be judging the 12 tribes of all the people, Jews and Gentiles? No, that makes no sense. What about Romans 11:2? God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture says of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets. New Testament passage. Substitute church in that verse. He makes intercession to God against the church, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets. That makes no sense at all. You're interpreting it that way? What then? Here's another scripture, Romans 11:7. What then, Israel? Does that mean all the people of God, the Jews and the Gentiles, the church, has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded? No, that's a reference to Israel. When they therefore were come out together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to the church? Acts 1:6? No, the kingdom to Israel. Israel means Israel in the scripture. Yes, we take it literally, and we ought to take it literally. Well, some people argue, well, Jesus pronounced the final curse on Israel because of her unbelief, like in Matthew 21 and other places of scripture and all these kinds of things. But no. He pronounced his anathema on Israel's apostate religious leaders, but never canceled any of God's promises to Israel. And Pastor Larry Spargimino comments that we can boldly state that Jesus Christ never canceled any of his promises to Israel. While he did make some stinging comments and uttered strong words of rebuke against the keepers of the vineyard, he never said that he would destroy the entire vineyard, especially in Matthew chapter 21. Now, it's also important to point out the Abrahamic covenant, and that is one of the central issues related to replacement theology, this idea that the church has replaced Israel in God's prophetic and redemptive plan. The covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis 12, reiterated in Genesis 15, Genesis 17, and also reconfirmed to Isaac and to Jacob, and I will bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee, and thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. These kinds of things are very central to the understanding of replacement theology. And many people say, and I've heard people argue this with me directly one-on-one, and they would say, well, God is excused from the covenant. When Israel stepped away like an unfaithful wife, God is free to marry another bride. God is free of the covenant promises that he made to Israel because Israel was unfaithful. But that misunderstands the Abrahamic covenant altogether. It was not God telling Abraham, Abraham, if you do this, if you are faithful, then I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. No, it wasn't a conditional covenant. It was an unconditional covenant. And when you read in the book of Genesis how that God walked through the two pieces of the animal, it seems to be a strange ceremony when you're reading it in scripture that Abraham is fallen asleep and he's in this deep, deep sleep. And this animal is split in half and there's these two halves. And God passes between the pieces as he cuts this covenant with Abraham. And there's a beautiful picture that's being made in this passage of scripture. God is the only one who passes between those pieces of the sacrificed animal. Abraham is put to sleep by God. The ancient ceremony, both parties would walk through that, signifying, we both agree to cut this covenant together, to enter into this agreement together. And yet God is the only one who passed through those pieces, and so that God is the only one who is keeping this covenant. It wasn't up to Abraham. He didn't pass through those pieces. So it's not up to him to keep that covenant. In other words, it's an unconditional promise that God made to Abraham. You know, I can make conditional promises to my kids, or I can make unconditional promises to them. I could tell my son, "Son, if you go clean your room, when you're done, we'll go out and back and we'll pass ball, but you got to clean your room first." I could just give him that kind of conditional covenant. But I could also give him an unconditional covenant where I say, "Son, let's go pass ball." It's not up to him to clean his room first. It's not up to him to do something in order for me to fulfill my promise to him. I've made the promise. "Hey, grab your glove. Let's go out back and pass ball." That is an unconditional promise covenant that I've made with my son. And you see, when God made that covenant with Abraham, and it is a one-sided covenant that is up to God to fulfill. And on tomorrow's program, I want to show you how that replacement theology really transforms the character of God. It's really an assault on the person and the character of God as revealed to us in Scripture. If replacement theology is true, God would be a liar. His word would be untrue. Israel would not be in God's plans, and God's love would not be unconditional. That's what we're going to discuss, Lord willing, on tomorrow's program. So I invite you to join me as we continue this timely and important discussion. Please don't forget all the wonderful resources available at swrc.com, through our Prophecy in the News magazine, our Prophecy in the News television show, all the resources that we have available, swrc.com, or give us a call today, 1-800-652-1144.
In a world growing darker by the day, deception is no longer subtle. It's strategic. Preparing for the End Times collection brings together three powerful resources from Pastor Josh Davis that shine a light on the spiritual and psychological battle unfolding around us. Rise of the One World Mind, Josh's best-selling book, and two brand new DVDs, Brainwashing the Masses and Rapture Anxiety. All three of these outstanding resources are available today for a gift of $45 or more. Simply call 1-800-652-1144 and place your order for these timely resources. 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order online, swrc.com. Tomorrow, Josh Davis will continue revealing the dangers of replacement theology. Be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.